Stay tuned for The Holy Spirit Is With You with Kathleen McCarthy, coming up next.
I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome once again to What the World... Whoops, almost did it again. What the World Needs Now. That's my 5 o'clock hour. Still getting used to this 4 to 5 hour. This is our first Thursday in that hour, and I want to welcome you, each and every one of you, to The Holy Spirit Is In You. Now, that's a broad subject, and so throughout these months and years, God willing, on Thursdays, we will be talking about the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the church. We have to remember that this is, if Jesus Christ is the very heart of the church, then certainly the Holy Spirit is the very soul of the church. And so I am praising God and thanking God for all the ways that we hear the truth through the anointing of the Holy Spirit every time the Word of God is proclaimed in the Gospels, at Mass, in the teaching magisterium of the Church, through each and every one of us, because through baptism, you and I have been given the fullness of the Holy Spirit through our baptism. I have a very good friend. I tease him and say himself is on the air, and he would know what I was talking about. But I have a beautiful son of God on the air with me today. I invited him, if he could, to be a part of this program. And it's no other than himself, Father Dermot Roche of the SMA Fathers. And just to one of the things I wanted to bring up today, before I actually bring Father on. He is part of his mission. He's a member of the Society of the African Missions, and we met a little over a year, I guess almost 2 years ago now, because originally it was by phone. And then I invited Father to do a retreat with me, which I do once a year at Malvern, which will be coming up again in November. And because of your beautiful notes and emails and the way you responded to Malvern, we've we're going to do it again. The both of us will come together in that week. And so we're delighted. And with no further ado, I just want to say to you personally, there is a prayer that I believe with all my heart and soul that was absolutely anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God works in many ways. And hopefully when you hear about how the Spirit of God worked in Father's life in regards to this act of consecration of the family to the divine mercy, maybe it will in some way enlighten your mind, your heart, and understanding that when we come before the Lord, and particularly sitting in front of His presence in the tabernacle or in a monstrance, and we say, Lord, what can I do? What is it that I can do, Lord, for You? How can I minister to Your people best? And we might ask a lot of other people, you know, what do you think my gifts are? You might look at other people and say, I wish I had their gifts. But the Lord gives each of us gifts. And Father Dermot Roche sat before the Lord and asked the Lord just that when he was among the poorest of the poor in South Africa. And now this prayer has received the Neopsa and Imprimata as well. And how blessed we are that we have him here to tell us when he was with the poorest of the poor, how he came to sit in front of the Lord and ask him, Lord Jesus, what can I do? With no further ado, I invite and I'm so pleased that we will be doing this program together. And again, I welcome you, Father Dermot, as a friend, as priest, thanking you for the gift of your priesthood, and as a priest who is very gifted. And I'll never forget the words when we left each other, my son Michael and I drove you back to the train, and you called when you were almost home, and you said, you know what, Kathleen? The Holy Spirit really did a job on me on the way home, and he really moved to my heart. And that's when you said, you know, about coming back and doing this retreat in November. So welcome, Father, and may this be the first of many times that others will come to know you, love you, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, listening to how the Spirit of God has worked in our lives, weak as we are, sinners though we are. But when we're open, look out, because he will bring forth the fire of his love and burn away all those things within us that stifle the Spirit of God. Let's start with that, Father. Let's start with your beautiful prayer, which we will go into. Tell the people how that came to be, because that is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Without a doubt. I first of all want to thank you for such an introduction that I don't deserve, but it's nice to hear. God love you. And to all of the listeners, thank you for this opportunity. I'm excited. I'm really excited to be part of this new endeavor, especially with the movement of the Spirit, because when you become in tune with it, you really understand. It's not just something that we read. It's an experience that not only transforms the soul, but as a result of transforming the soul, and we're compelled to do something about it, others are transformed as well, and that is the fire of the Holy Spirit in action. And that's exactly what happened to me in 2008. I was working in the Republic of South Africa. Now, just to understand a little bit further about the SMA Fathers, were founded 160 years ago, and Pius IX, when he instituted us as a congregation, he said to us that he would like us to go out to the poorest of the poor on the continent of Africa and evangelize. So that's really the work that we do, and over the years we went from West Africa to East, eventually South. But the work in South Africa was different because of the apartheid regime that had left such a treacherous scar on an entire nation. So there was different levels of wounds in that nation that we as a missionary institute were going into. Now, you can imagine some of the other places that we work in are kind of what they call primary evangelization. We don't have some of these obstacles, so it's easier to lay the seeds. So I came into an area that was deeply wounded by a fascist regime that had eventually dissolved through the Nelson Mandela presidency and the whole new era that came into the country. But the wounds left this nation stripped of a morale, of hope, really. And in the complexities of the economy, of the mines, and the private investors that came in, it was a constant mesh of confusion. And when I arrived, I just saw family systems that had disintegrated. I mean, Kathleen, it was very hard to see families that we see in the United States or in Europe being threatened. This was a totally different chapter. And families were burying children because of the AIDS epidemic, and fathers were no longer in the picture. Alcoholism, drugs were soaring. Infidelity was out of control. And they were losing all sense of hope. And every program that the government, and every program, I'd even say that local civil authorities, municipalities were putting together, were only temporary band-aids on the family. There was no deep healing. And one evening I was in adoration, and I was begging the Lord. I said, everything we do here is a constant vicious circle back to square one. And night after night, I would ask the Lord, what can I give these people? What can I give them to change their world, to help them to find something more lasting? And one evening, and I'll never forget it, and no words will ever be able to describe the experience, but the Lord said to me this very authoritative yet gentle voice, give the families my divine mercy. The following week, after receiving this charge, now this is one of those charges that, as I say, you experience. You cannot deny it. You're compelled to bring this out to others. And I brought the image of the divine mercy to the main church, because we always have a main church in outstations, which are developing parishes. And I asked them, would you like Father to come into your house to teach you the chaplet, show you this beautiful image where we can start again through God's divine mercy? And I will teach them, I said, I teach you right from the beginning. They looked at the image of the divine mercy. They just gazed on it. That's the word that I often use. And I know that God's gaze back was touching them. And before the week was over, we had organized several groups to come together, and they said, yes, Father, we would like you to come. So in the nights that followed, as we were organizing this new endeavor to pray in the homes to bring divine mercy to the families, the Lord then inspired me further. And the prayer that has been authored was the Lord's words to me. I was just simply the pen in his hand. And line by line, in a period of time, that consecration of the family to the divine mercy prayer became the other component to the chaplet and to an enthronement process that we developed. And the families would publicly proclaim that Jesus Christ, the divine mercy, is the king of their family lineage. And from this day forward, they are surrendering in full trust their whole history, their present state, and wherever the future might be. And I saw with my very own eyes, Kathy, I saw the healing hand of God over and over and over.
Mm.
There were families that you would say would have given up ages ago are suddenly turning around and saying, well, we'll deal with what we have and start afresh. There was something that they were looking forward to. They actually experienced mercy, to be loved when the world is telling them they're unlovable, to be pardoned when they believe, after all the sins that so many of them in that nation have caused or have become victims of, have been pardoned. Pardon the unpardonable, forgive the unforgivable. And suddenly, in these small pockets of areas in South Africa, the poorest of the poor areas, the healing began. And I, myself, didn't understand until the subsequent years have gone by where I was able to pray it myself, learn further what he actually was doing. Because what Christ was doing wasn't just for these families in the villages of South Africa. No, not at all. Because at the end of 2010, I was reassigned to Boston, USA. Boston, USA, in some circles, was known as Ground Zero, if you understand what I mean in terms of the church's scandal history in the last 12 years. And it was the strangest place to go when you were working in such rural, rural settings. And it was here, in Boston, where this prayer that I truly believed had done its job on the continent of Africa resurfaced. And I knew in my heart the way people were looking at it, the Lord was saying, no, it is time. It is time. Not just for South Africa, but for here. And I remember seeking some advice and counsel, and a very wise priest said to me, Father, I think it warrants some recognition and publication, so seek it. So I did. Now, the SMA Fathers have their provincial house in New Jersey, so that's where our bishop lies, so Archbishop Meyer's office received this information. And almost 2 years, it was almost out of sight, out of mind, that I received this Sensa Librorum one day with Nihil Obstaff by Monsignor James Caffone, imprimatur by His Excellency Archbishop John J. Myers, saying that this prayer, this consecration prayer, is recognized. And I'll tell you something. After I left the post office with my knees that nearly buckled, I went back to the chapel in our home in Dedham, in Boston, and I just had this sense of peace that just covered me. And I said, Lord, it's time. So I sent out 1,000 pilot cards, kind of experimenting with it. And they were gone, naturally, within a day or two. And it developed. People wanted to hear the prayer. The families were thirsting, Catholic families were thirsting for healing. There's no denying that. And I began to realize, give the families my divine mercy wasn't just a charge for the people of South Africa, but for the world.
Hmm.
Here we are in 2016, and we had to form our own apostolate in order to distribute and promote the consecration prayer, which is now not only in 5 continents, but it's recognized in many major archdioceses around the world. Been implemented in many of the mercy programs for this extraordinary Jubilee year. I hear it on radios. I hear people praying them in rosaries. You see the cards and images and homes that you go to. And if you want to see the workings of the Holy Spirit, all by request, we have 16 languages in which it has been currently translated into. And the Bishop of Seoul, South Korea, was the last. And that is an absolutely extraordinary thing.
It is indeed, Father Dermot. You know, in our own lives and in the world today, all over the world, but particularly right here in the United States of America, we are all often stripped of our hope. We are wounded and broken and rejected, and hearts that are searching and searching for the living God, and they, you know, we often try to fill it with many different things. And one of the things, particularly, I believe, in this time, and as I say, my people, my listeners, family of listeners, they hear me say it every day, we are created for a time such as this. And the Lord never leaves us orphaned. When He calls us, He always sends us. And, you know, you read the Acts of the Apostles, and which I always thought, and many agree, should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We can see the power of the Spirit alive and moving and living in the hearts of people, those that were broken, those that were had committed heinous crimes. Look at Paul himself, a murderer. We see that time and time again, and we have to realize that the same power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the apostles at Pentecost, which we're about to, you know, in next celebrate. Month celebrate it, and for you and for I and for so many, I think this program is going to be a real blessing and an anointing, a renewal, if you will, in the hearts of all of us in this beautiful Jubilee year, Mercy. I don't think you can separate the two any more than you can separate our Mother Mary from her Son Jesus, the Spirit of God. After all, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon our Blessed Mother that she conceived a son. And it's, you cannot separate. And I think oftentimes, what shall I call him? Time and time again, he is the, I don't want to say the shyest person of the Trinity, but he is in a way, oftentimes the forgotten one of the Trinity. And I think for a time such as this, the state our country's in, the state of the world, the brokenness, the emptiness, the loss of hope, the hunger, the poorest of the poor, the diseases, I mean, you talk about a wounded world. We're living in the midst of it. And so, sure, if you don't mind, I'd like to read your poem, your prayer, because I do believe, as you know, I shared right away with you, I felt in my own heart and soul that this was really a work of the Holy Spirit, undeniably so. So that, again, I concur with you that this was meant not only for the beautiful work it did in South Africa, but I think in this time, for a time such as this, that we are indeed called to remember, to pray to the Divine Mercy, to consecrate our homes, our families, our businesses, and our country into the Divine Mercy. And this is the prayer. And it's simply called Act of Consecration of the Family to the Divine Mercy. O Jesus, you showed us your infinite compassionate love by exhausting the very last drop of blood and water from your body. From this day forward, with full confidence, we entrust our families to your Divine Mercy. We abandon our past, our present, and our future. We place into your wounds all of our wounds. which are caused by lack of love, understanding, and trust. Jesus, expel Satan and all evil from our families. Free us from the consequences of sin and protect us from further harm. Heal our wounds. May our families learn to venerate your divine image, that they will never perish, but experience your loving mercy. Amen. Tell us, Father Dermot, do you agree that the world today and the shape it's, morally, ethically, financially, in every aspect, do you agree with me that we are living in a time such as this is in desperate need of the renewal and outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our world and our country like never before?
Absolutely. And you mentioned several times the word renewal.
Mm.
And the renewal is what the Holy Spirit does for each and every one of us. His generosity will never be outdone. His mercy will never be fathomed in any intellect or in any generation. And the kindness continues to flow. And what I believe is happening right now is that the Holy Spirit is waiting right now and is in action to allow a whole new era, or John Paul II used to speak about the whole new springtime that's coming. I believe God is beginning to, maybe has no more use for the organizational structures of today's world. If that kind of makes sense?
Yes, indeed.
And in order to renew it, he needs to let it go. And it's a bit of a painful process. But what we always must never, ever forget is that word you said, renewal. He will constantly reform. He will constantly replenish. He will constantly bring forth life, that all of us can one day again say, there is a tomorrow. It is worth it.
Mm.
Because that's who God is.
Amen. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is when Peter went to Ephesus and he came across those people who, you know, they said they were baptized, and he knew by looking at them, by seeing who they were and how they were living, he knew there was something lacking. He knew there was something missing, if you will. And he asked them, "Were you baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And they answered him, "We don't even know so much as who the Holy Spirit is. We were baptized with water, with John." And of course, you know, as it goes on, the Spirit of God moves powerfully in Jesus, and he says, in Peter, and he says, "You must receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And so they lay their hands upon them. Of course, they begin to pray in tongues and so forth and so on. But the crux of it is that we can't live our lives out being a contradiction to the world. Nobody can, and that's the good news. We need to be aware of and allow the Holy Spirit in us and through us, bringing us to the point where people will look at us and say, "There's something. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something there that I want. There's a power, there's a strength, there's a grace." We're going to take a little break. Don't go away. And you're with Father Dermot Roche, SMA Father, and myself, Kathleen McCarthy, on our new program, The Holy Spirit Is With You. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Carol Houghton, Chancellor in the Diocese of Harrisburg. I've been listening to What the World Needs Now with Kathleen McCarthy for about 6 months. The shows that speak especially to me are those where Kathleen either teaches from Scripture or shares her own personal story. When Kathleen teaches from Scripture, I feel like I am on a retreat with her, and I come away from the radio show refreshed and renewed. When Kathleen shares her own story of how God has worked in her life, it gives all of us hope that He can do the same kind of work in our lives. God is present with us. He lives within us, and He loves us unconditionally. That's the message that Kathleen announces every day. And for this ministry, for her yes to God, I am forever grateful.
Our break, our identification break and so forth. I just want to share with you, you know, many of us today, we have parents and many of us are caregivers. Many are in need of caregiving. And we're blessed to know a wonderful, wonderful man, Larry Miggs. And he is sponsoring this Thursday program. So as I did the other day, I want to also again just share with you, you know, when you're looking for care for a loved one, to remain independent, living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide what we really need, the compassionate, professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available anywhere. And you may select your caregiver before the service even begins. Services include bathing and dressing, errands, light housekeeping, and meal preparation, and more, up through 24 hours a day if needed. With over 500 franchise offices nationwide and 9 offices in the Delaware Valley, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities in caregiving for Visiting Angels are available also. You'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a career in caring. So call today at 877-374-LIVE or go online at visitingangels.com. Again, that's 877-374-LIVE, L-I-V-E, Visiting Angels. 877-374-LIVE. And remember, each office is independently owned and operated. And once again, I praise and thank God for the generosity of Larry Miggs and the Visiting Angels who are supporting this radio program. The Spirit of God is within you, every single one of you. Okay, we're back again, and Father Dermot, as I said earlier, he will be with us as often as he could, as his schedule allows him to, and we're blessed to be able to do this first program on Thursday together. God really anointed it and really blessed it, our schedules, that we could be here. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I am flying out myself. So this is a divine opportunity. I also, you know, if you have a question you'd like to ask, then I would ask you to call this number throughout the program. It's 610-527-527 2906. Or maybe you don't have a question. Maybe you just like to make a comment. 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-34-FAITH. 1-888-34-FAITH. And the first person that calls in today, we will send you a copy of act of consecration of the family to the divine mercy. And once again, I just want to, Father, why don't you give your mailing address out or your website so that others can Google that and go into the internet and see the beautiful work that that your order does.
Well, I'll give you two. One is for the SMA Fathers, it's www.smafathers.org. That's all lowercase letters. And for the apostolate, which is called Family Divine Mercy, you can reach us at www.familydivinemercy. That's all one word, familydivinemercy.org.
And we're talking, of course, the program is called The Holy Spirit is With You. I will share this thought because it's a working of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in my own life when I came to this program. And Father and I sort of laughed about it last night when I was telling him. I had this program that I thought was a great idea for Thursdays. And I was going to call it The Voice of the Shepherd. And so I'm sitting here last Thursday. I was, you know, Father Chifo and I do a program on Thursday, which I will go into when I'm done this program. And as I'm sitting there, I was thinking, well, let me think, who shall I get? And as clear as day, as clear as I hear himself there with his deep laugh and beautiful voice, lilting voice of the Irish, I might add, I hear you're to do the program. And I went on to say, Lord, this is my idea. This is what I wanted to do on Thursday. And as if I never said a word, and you will call it, the Holy Spirit is in you. And of course, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's how I, you know, that's my opening to all my programs. John Paul II, I open up with, be not afraid, the Holy Spirit is with you. And I thought, of course, that'll be the name of it. And it's just, again, another work of the Spirit. Many times we think we know what God wants. I always say what we really want to be is advisors, not followers. And we'd rather advise him, like I just told you I tried to do. And he paid me no mind whatsoever, act like he didn't even hear me, and just went on to say, like, I didn't say anything. And you will call it, the Holy Spirit is in you. So when is the last time that you, our listeners, when is the last time that you asked the Holy Spirit to show you your own gifts, the gifts that every single baptized Christian receives? The fullness of the Spirit, not part of the Spirit or some of the Spirit, but the fullness of the Spirit. And this is something that, you know, this was prophesied. It was actually the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. What was he said in the last days? Let me say that again. In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit, let me get this right, on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Didn't he tell his own disciples that it was better for them for him to go so that the Holy Spirit could come? Imagine him telling the people that followed him, that put their hope and their trust in him, the people that loved him, hey, it's better for you if I go away, because I will send you my Spirit. And this is, again, this is such a time as this for an outpouring of the Spirit. And our beautiful Mother Mary in this new evangelization is actually called the star of this new evangelization. What say you, Father?
That is absolutely correct. And this great mother of ours is working time and a half. Mm. And I am envisioning, as you're speaking there, with her arms opened up as one of those images of Our Lady of Mercy. Mm. All of the outpouring is just coming from her hand. pouring with her, it makes all the difference in the world, because she, as the spouse of the Spirit, who carried our Lord, conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit, knows the Spirit best and is the greatest of all the advisors, if you will. How do I get to know Christ? Let's go back to the Spirit.
Mm.
Back to the Spirit. And you know something else? You were mentioning this outpouring. And during the break, I had to go back to Divine Mercy Sunday. Actually, I'll take you back in the areas we've been working in, even throughout Lent. Mother Church declared an extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy. Not even the ordinary Jubilee years, which take place every 20, 25 years. Pope Francis felt it was time. He felt that the world was growing cold, and he declared this extraordinary Jubilee year. And when the Church declares as such, if we are open to these graces and our disposition remains open, we must expect graces to be received. And I started seeing this year, especially the times of confession during Lent, increased by 100-fold in some places. I started saying to myself, I'm seeing the extraordinary graces given because of the extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy.
Mm.
And that's another outpouring of His Spirit. Christ Himself said to Saint Faustina, "Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to My mercy." And I've seen this year hundreds upon hundreds of people I personally have confessed coming back to say, I need peace of mind again. I need to know the truth. I need to live that truth. I want to be renewed. And this extraordinary Jubilee year, any of these Jubilee years that the Church declares, always bears fruit.
Amen.
And it's pouring, it's outpouring. And I go back now, what you were saying about the mother of evangelization. She's behind this. She's with what the Church has declared. She's helping people now to listen to the promptings of the Spirit that is within us. It's kind of like this machine. I get these images as I speak, so you have to follow me. I'm looking at an image right now of a machine with all the little components working together, creating one big force of God's renewal happening through church, through Our Lady's intercession, through people's goodwill, through others being touched. It's amazing stuff. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing stuff.
Indeed. And you know, that's why I say no more than the people in Ephesus with a regular water baptism could have been a witness, an example of Christ alive and living in them and moving through them without the Holy Spirit. And we see that the Spirit comes, He sanctifies, immediately begins to fill them with the fire of the Spirit, that they are overjoyed in words that they can't even express in the human language. And this is that the Spirit of God is the very sanctification, sanctifying us from the inside out, if you will. That's the state of perfect love, righteousness, true holiness. We have a caller on the line. Let's take this call right now. Deacon Fran. Hello, Deacon Fran. How are you?
I'm good, Kathleen. How are you this wonderful, beautiful day today?
Praise be to God. I'm in the glory.
Yeah, it's the truth. That's the truth. There's no reason I called. I've been listening to you and Father as I'm driving, trying to get home in this wonderful Philadelphia area traffic. And I just wanted to share something with you. Father's been talking about the consecration to Divine Mercy. For the first time in our parish this year, we actually celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday. And we had a fantastic day, great turnout, very spiritual-filled day. And as part of it, we consecrated probably 100-plus families to the Divine Mercy.
Wow.
As well as we did the enthronement to the Divine Mercy also of all these families. And I just need to say that, you know, the Spirit is moving right now, and He's moving strongly through this devotion.
Amen.
just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you, and we agree. And I'll tell you, one of the beautiful things about Father Dermot and myself working together, I think that's what we really can appreciate in each other. In the middle of a conversation, either one of us can be filled with a moment of pure grace, a moment of inspiration. And not only when it comes from us, we're surprised. We know that the Spirit of God is at work very powerfully in us. But that same Spirit of God is at work in everyone. And we have to learn to recognize those promptings. We have to learn to be still and know that He is God. We have to time to be still and know that He's God, and take that time to be quiet. Mary, Father, you heard me say this, Mary raised Jesus to be a gentleman, and gentlemen do not talk when other people are talking. So, Fran, you're right on. Deacon Fran, thank you so much for your call in, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Father, for bringing that consecration to this country.
God bless.
God bless.
And, Father, are you there? Father Roche? Oh, he's on the phone.
I'm
well,
here.
He's here.
Now I am. I was cut off there.
Oh, okay. We're back again. Evidently, somebody doesn't want us to get through loud and clear. And so here we are again.
You get that too?
I sure do. You should have been here Tuesday. Oh Lord. I'm sharing my sponsors, you know, about the visiting angels, and I'm going on, and here nothing's happening because there was a glitch in the system at the tower. And it was 8 minutes. I was talking and talking and talking, and nothing. Nobody heard anything. So.
Oh, you're kidding!
Yeah, my first full Tuesday of 2 hours. And but God has a great sense of humor, and what we know this, what the evil one would use for evil, God works for a greater good, not just a good, but a greater good. So praise be to God.
Amen.
What is the Spirit saying within you in these times, Father, through your mission work, but as a priest, as a Catholic priest, what is he saying to your own heart, to your own mind? How is he moving in your own spirit? Is it in profound ways that you know this must be the Spirit of God at work?
Sometimes, Kathleen, you can't even put it into words. In recent times, and I would say more recent than not, let's say last year and a half, profound ways. Is in one level, it's maturity going on. On another level, it's rediscovery. But in the middle of all of that, there's an underlining message of hope. Mm. In other words, hope in me, trust in me, because we don't know always where tomorrow is going to be. So I have learned, when all these things are happening to me, I've learned not to question them. I used to question my spiritual. Well, I had a spiritual director one day who said to me, "Never ask God. Never say to Him, 'I can't do this,' or 'I'm not.'
That's
sure.
Right.
Just say to Him, 'What can I do for you?'" Mm. So I've developed a whole sense of my mission to say, okay, what's up now? And sometimes that's not clear, I'll be honest with you. It's not always clear. But I do think now I'm in an advent. I think my world right now has developed many, many ministries that are forming lives of their own.
Mm-hmm.
There is an underlining message for myself personally. I think that my whole mission for the rest of my life is the message of mercy, whether it's done on the African continent, for the African continent, but definitely for the families, whomever, as a message of a mission of mercy for myself. But right now, I think the spirit is like bubbling up many, many new avenues for myself that haven't yet to be clarified. So it's life for me. It's constantly moving, but deeply profound.
Yeah.
And the more I'm experiencing the Holy Spirit in my life, the calmer I am becoming, very much at peace and happier. People say, oh, Father, you just ooze with joy.
Absolutely.
And I say, well, I guess so. That's the manifestation of the Spirit in my life.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, finally, I think in the world that we're in, such a time as this, I don't think it's the Spirit's time to reveal to me the final outcome, a new chapter of where we're heading, because I think it's going to correspond with things happening in the church, in the world, and also in my own mission. So I just wait.
Yeah. And that's wisdom, Father. You just said, I just wait. For all of us, you know, I'm going to share with you, this doesn't surprise me with what you said. When we were blessed to be able to do the retreat together, it was the first time we ever physically worked together, aside from being
fabulous.
On the radio. Yes, without being on the radio. And you would have thought, and this was from the people, you would have thought that we had worked together for years. And I think that in itself was a gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember your words when we closed the retreat out, and you came over and you said to me, this was different, Kathleen, very different. The Holy Spirit is really, really working. And when we dropped you off at the train, and then you called me and you said, you're not going to believe it. The Holy Spirit is working so powerfully and speaking to me and moving in me all this way home on the train. And I thought, uh-huh, because that's what he does with all of us. He takes us and opens us up more and more and more, and we mature in the gifts of the Spirit. We mature in recognizing how he's moving in our lives. And it's the greatest tool the Christian has, really the greatest tool the Christian has, to follow the path that God has for each one of us, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, we find detours with all the construction all over in every city, every town, every state. And we had to follow a detour sign and finally get back to where we're supposed to be. Many of us have hit detours in our lives. We've fallen short of the glory of God over and over and over again. And we continue to go with the same things, asking forgiveness for over and over again. But God, in his infinite love and in his mercy, gives us his Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be the one to lead us on the path that will eventually take us home to our goal, eternal life. And he gives us a choice, doesn't he? He places before us life and death. He wants us to choose life that we might live. And for you and I and all of our listening audience today, oftentimes, you know, the dark looks good. Sometimes it even sounds good. And most times it even feels good. But the good news is, it's a deception. It's a tremendous deception. And without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're taken down paths that we can get lost in. We will wander around in the dark for so long. It is through the power and grace of the infilling and flowing and renewal of the Spirit in our lives, day in and day out, and as the scripture said so beautifully, that we are being renewed and called to be renewed in the Holy Spirit day by day, bathed in his merciful love. And that's the only way we'll grow into all that he calls us to be. We're far way off, but when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives and we yield to him, then we are on the right path. What say you?
I've been pondering this Easter season, the beautiful Easter passage where Jesus comes in through the walls of the cenacle. He sits among his apostles, and he breathes on them, the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
This so intimate breathes on each and every one of them, the breath of life. And that's what he's looking at. He's, I have come that you may have life.
Yeah.
Have it to the full. And we can only continuously turn to God and pray and implore him to help us not to fall into the darkness, but not to be, as you say, cut short of the glory of God. Sometimes that's the shortness of breath. He's breathing in that spirit to us, and we cut off his breath. Thus we cut off his great glory. And it was one of the passages that I have been constantly meditating this Easter season. He breathed on them, the Holy Spirit. Beautiful God, Kathleen. He's so intimate. He's so loving. He's so personal. I wish I heard you remember. I remember in November, if everybody knew what we really had, the place would really be on fire. The churches would be packed. How true is that?
Yeah.
If a human being just knew alone how much God loves us through His Holy Spirit,
yeah,
we would get up every morning and dance for joy.
Absolutely, and you know that forgiveness and that mercy. Nobody can forgive us. Nobody can set us free. Nobody can heal us completely but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he said it's better for us that he goes back to the Father, so that he could indeed send us his Holy Spirit. And we have to recognize that in our lives. It is the Spirit of God that gives us the grace to forgive even the unforgivable, to love even the unlovable, and to be his hands, his feet, and his voice, to be those living tabernacles that he dwells in. We don't hear about that anymore, do we?
No, we don't. And unfortunately, there's so much other stuff that floods us, that block us from it. And I know the power of the Spirit will one day, like a powerful hose, force all that stuff away. But we, you and me, and all the evangelizers must be his voice right now in order for people to be reminded of the power of his Holy Spirit, in order to be reminded of his infinite love, of his infinite tenderness, compassion, mercy. And especially in this world for families, that our voices are never muted, that they may understand that we have a God who forgives families and wants to restore our families to their proper dignity and holiness.
Amen.
And that can only come through the renewal and the power of his Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, Father Dermot, you talked about just the verbiage, the breath of God, just the verbiage of it alone, that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he did when he first formed man out of clay of the ground? He blew into his nostrils, and the breath of life came into them. So we
ruach,
need to be ruach. Very good. That's ruach. Exactly ruach, and I love those words. Believe it or not, we're at the end of the hour.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm going to have to do my other program. And, Father, it's been a joy and a blessing and an honor to work with you again. And may the Lord Jesus bless you from your head to your toes. May his voice be your voice. And